Wake-up call.
This is Wake-up call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number three as we roll along on a Monday. So much to unpack. We've been doing the Ryder Cup this morning and, of course, the NFL week three. And look, I know every team's circumstances are different, how they got to where they are right now. Every team's on a different journey, of course. But, man, you can't help but wonder when you look at the where every team is after 3 weeks, the difference between two of the major cities in the United States. Look at what's going on in New York right now, right? A team that is living and dying with the Jets and the Giants all of these years, and both teams are winless, and both teams coming off really awful losses. The Broncos shut out the Jets 26-0. You know how hard it is to be shut out in the NFL? You'd think you would eventually get something where you could kick a field goal, for crying out loud. But nope, the Jets couldn't get any points on the board, and they're not doing Zach Wilson any favors either. Like, just like Justin Fields in Chicago, that offensive line's not protecting him, and he's not throwing the ball quick enough to get it out of his hands. But the Giants yesterday was even worse, because the Giants played another lousy football team in the Atlanta Falcons. And so while I wouldn't have said Giants were favored or anything like that, both of these teams kind of were bad. But it was a day in which the Giants celebrated Eli Manning's career. They brought him out, retired his number. Could they play hard for good old Eli, for good old number 10? Of course not. And the Falcons kicked a field goal in an ugly win by both teams. But Atlanta does get the victory, and the Giants fall to 0-3. Daniel Jones once again had the famous, he played well, the team around him didn't. I'm tired of that. You're the quarterback of the football team. It's not about whether you threw a pick or didn't throw a pick. I'd rather my quarterback throw three interceptions and win the game than zero and lose. I don't care how many interceptions he throws if he's trying to make a play. As long as when the push comes to shove, I can trust him to go out there and win games. We are looking at Daniel Jones completely different than other quarterbacks. We are looking at him in sort of a statistical basis. Well, he threw for 248 yards, 270 yards, a touchdown and no interceptions. It was a good day. No, it wasn't, because they lost. Right? And look at Los Angeles, the second largest city in the country. They've got the Chargers coming off a win against Kansas City at Kansas City, and the Rams are the best team in football. Matt Stafford is being reborn in the City of Angels. More on the NFL as we continue a Wake-Up Call.
You're listening to Wake-Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We'd love to hear from you as we continue on week three in the NFL. So I was saying at the top of the hour, look at the two cities in America with each with two teams, right? L.A. and New York. And New York is, I mean, again, every team is different. And they're not all equal. How you get to where you are is different. The Jets certainly weren't going to be very good with a new rookie quarterback. And the Giants are still figuring out Daniel Jones. But look in Los Angeles. This is a city that didn't have an NFL team for 20-plus years. They now have two. And they have two of the really exciting teams in the league right now. The Rams just might be the best team in the NFL. What they did to Tampa Bay last night was easy. Matt Stafford is throwing four touchdowns. He's got incredible weapons. And the defense with Aaron Donald is phenomenal. And their coach is brilliant. Sean McVay is just brilliant. But the Chargers are a fun team, too. And Justin Herbert, once again, is showing there's no sophomore slump. I didn't do this where I was. People didn't know who I was and figuring it out later. He went to Arrowhead. They went to Arrowhead. And they beat the Chiefs. They didn't fluke their way into this thing. They forced four turnovers. They scored a touchdown with 30 seconds remaining. They won that game. And they played the Chiefs tough. These are two really exciting teams in Los Angeles. While in New York, it's just these are two teams going absolutely nowhere. And for one team in particular, it's okay. Right? It's the Jets. I mean, it's okay. You know, we when you have a rookie quarterback, there's struggles. But again, getting shut out in Denver. Okay, look, losing in Denver is fine, but to not put any points on the board, to not have some sort of way to do something It's the same thing with Justin Fields in Chicago. I mean, these guys are just left out there behind offensive lines that just can't do anything. And they're not developing the kind of habits that you want to see them develop. It's one thing when they have red jerseys on in practice and they can, you know, go through the motions a bit. But in games, they're not really getting a sense on how to overcome the speed of the game because there's other things that are thwarting their perception, which is, I just want to stay on my feet, right, all the time. Right? With the Giants, I'm really having a problem with this organization and Daniel Jones. I'm sorry. As I said at the top, I don't like it when Jones's statistical day is put into some context because statistically it looks okay, like he played well. He's got to find a way to win games. Look, you look at the winners in this league, right? Tom Brady is sort of the outlier, but look at some other successful quarterbacks in this league who have found ways to be struggling at times, but found ways to win. Okay, a perfect example is the quarterback for my team, Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers have always found their ways in the playoffs, but there's been years where Roethlisberger hasn't played really well. There's been times where the Steelers' offense wasn't clicking, and then they would find something that did work, and then they were more of a downfield threat, and then you've got to find ways to win. You know, Brett Favre used to sling it around all the time and throw interceptions, found ways to win games. Jones should not be a statistical machine where if you get 250 yards, a touchdown, no picks, somehow the Giants should turn that into a victory. You know, he's got to take the circumstances of the game with him to say, look, if I have to do a little better, I have to do a little better. Right. And I think that's the problem with evaluating Jones. They're not winning football games. They are just not winning football games with him as the quarterback. And they've got a decision to make because it's his third year with the team.
It's not only that they're not winning. They just don't look like they will.
They don't
be
look like
too.
They can. Right. They don't look like they can. Like, again, neither one of those teams really had an edge. The Atlanta Falcons are just as bad as the Giants are playing right now. But if you ask me which team do you think should have it, I go, well, I think the Giants, they're at home. Both teams coming off pretty good losses. Don't forget, the Falcons were in that game late in the third quarter against Tampa Bay. Then two pick sixes kind of threw it out of the way. And the Giants were absolutely in a position to win at Washington on that Thursday night game. But it's troubling because you celebrate the career of one individual in Eli Manning, and then the guy that replaced him, the guy you had to draft to replace him, is just not producing any level of results where you feel like the team is in good hands. By year three, he should not look like he doesn't know what he's doing sometimes. And again, statistically, they're okay. They're fine. But they've got to find a way to win. Now, the Jets, they're the Jets, right? They're building that team around Zach Wilson. Hopefully, Robert Saleh hasn't lost Zach Wilson. But when you look in Los Angeles, right? And we talked about this earlier. Landing Justin Herbert and seeing that his ability to play in this league can lead to really good things like being up there with a 2-1 record and winning on the road and against a divisional rival and feeling like you should be in every single game. The Chargers are not going to win every single game, of course, but they should be in every single game. And what's going on with the Rams right now, Sean McVay looking at his team from a couple of years ago, going to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, losing that Super Bowl in what was a defensive battle, but then later down the road, evaluating his quarterback enough to say, okay, we went to a Super Bowl, you know, and then we had a year or two with you. We're moving on, right? We're moving on. And getting Matt Stafford right now today, it's brilliant. It's a yep. brilliant maneuver. He has taken a guy that everybody in this league, when they talked about Matt Stafford, would say constantly, every single coach, that guy can throw. He's got all the weapons. He's got every type of throw you need him to make. Whatever it was in Detroit. And I agree with the critics who said, hey, stop saying, you know, Matt Stafford didn't have a team around him. He had Calvin Johnson, for crying out loud. I agree with that. But whatever it is in Los Angeles is allowing this guy to really showcase his skills. He's really showcasing his skills.
I mean, maybe it's the defense?
It could be. It could be the defense.
You know, that you don't he doesn't have that feeling of, like, I got to put up 50 points a game just to give us a chance to win.
And he didn't get in a shootout last night with Tom Brady.
No.
Right? He just, you know, like, they got a touchdown. They went kind of back and forth a little bit, and then they got enough of a cushion, and that was really it.
Yeah, they
that
came back from halftime. It was like, we'll keep our foot on the gas.
That's exactly right.
We're not flooring it. We're just going to keep it. We're going to keep the pressure on.
And so that is kind of, you know, to see the Rams. And by the way, I'm going to sound like a broken record here. That stadium is so beautiful.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It really is.
Every time there's going to be a nationally televised game, guys, all season, I just might keep talking about it. I'm sorry.
And I have a feeling the NFL is going to nationally televise every single game that's there.
Holy mackerel. Like, I usually am a little skeptical at stadiums, like, yeah, Jerry's World, things like that. But sometimes they just, you go... Like I've never been to the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, but I have a bunch of friends who have, and every one of them came back going, dude, that is incredible. It's incredible. This one's got that same feeling from people who are working there.
Here's the difference I think we're going to start seeing more and more and more is the glass roof.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're going to start seeing that now.
That openness that they have where the breeze from the ocean comes in, that's an architectural design, man, that's really smart. That's really good. It's beautiful. Absolutely stellar. So enough on the stadium because I'll just talk about it all day. I think the two teams in L.A. are just magnificent. I mean, they're right now probably really well. It's exciting. It's an exciting time. I hope I hope the Chargers can use that momentum to garner some interest in going in their games because it looks like the Rams, you know, with their history there and have really established a presence in Los Angeles. But the Chargers are good. I mean, that was a fun team to watch. In their beatdown of the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, not really, because they score with 30 seconds left. But that's still a good game. But I was talking about this with the Denver Broncos staying in the division. And this is where Elias Sports Bureau, get into overtime on this one. Has any NFL team ever gone 3-0 against three teams that combined for an 0-9 record after 3 weeks?
I know. I've done my research. I was trying to do my research here.
Yeah?
I can't find the answer to that question.
Okay.
But I did find the answer to the strength of schedule for 2021.
Okay.
It's kind of shocking because the Broncos had the fifth easiest schedule, according to everyone, prior to the season kicking off.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they were tied with the Dolphins with the fifth easiest schedule.
And, I mean, the Denver Broncos are 3-0. They opened with the Giants, Jacksonville, and the Jets.
Yeah. I don't know what rabbit foot they had to rub to get that one. But, yeah, that deemed them the fifth easiest schedule.
Those games
There's four other teams that were considered to have a better, an easier schedule than them.
Those games are so easy. I think the Denver Broncos paid those teams $1 million just to be there for them, to roll through.
Kind of like college football.
Cupcake. Like, thank you, Jacksonville. Thank you, Jets. Appreciate your time. Hope you had a good experience playing us. Here's your check to fund your program down the road.
Yeah, because here's the thing to think about. You can have an easier schedule, but you know you're not going to roll those three out. You know, why didn't they have the Jets like in week 15?
Why would you give, by the way, why would you give the Broncos two games against the two of the top draft-picking teams in the NFL? Like, I know you have to play them. That's already established that, you know, there's nothing they're going to do about that. But did you have to play them in back-to-back weeks?
Well, see, here's...
Like, was that the way the NFL just kind of threw it together?
This is the reason why I was bringing this up, too, right? Because, you know, they had the fifth easiest schedule. You want to know who's slotted right ahead of them?
Who?
The Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers?
The Buccaneers had prior to season starting, the fourth easiest schedule
for the
Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, and they take, it's just record, so it's not like any other statistic that gets thrown in there. Yeah, so the Cowboys was 6-10, so that helped the situation.
Well, it goes Eagles, Cowboys, Falcons, then Buccaneers.
Yeah. Okay, I get it now.
But, I mean, even the Buccaneers, like, you can't throw a – we got to figure out a different strategy here.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I just think, like I said, if somebody at these statistic companies that always seem to pop this up, you know, 3-0 is 3-0. Don't get me wrong. And I mentioned it last week. I think the Broncos at 3-0 beating the Giants and Jaguars on the road. It's still two road games, two road wins. But my goodness, you can't ask for you cannot ask for a easier schedule to start the season than the Broncos' first three games of the year. I mean, those are cakewalks. But, you know, Denver didn't come in. It's not like Denver came into this season on fire. You know, they weren't all that awesome. You know, Teddy Bridgewater's working out and that defense is great. But these are three bad football teams. So you better win those games. All right, coming up next, speaking of Jacksonville and Urban Meyer, what they did against the Arizona Cardinals. Well, it was fun for a second. That's next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test that battery for free, and if it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one for it to fit your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So remember when Urban Meyer said to Vic Fangio, every game is like playing Alabama? And everyone was like, oh, Urban Meyer, that's the way the NFL is, man.
You're cute.
Yeah. So you know what you do when you play Alabama? You pull off a kick six, like Chris Stavis.
Yes.
Jamal Agnew returning 109 yards. Now, do we have that, by the way? I know I should have asked you earlier. If we don't, that's okay, because I know I'm kind of asking earlier. Because Gus Johnson was on the call yesterday on the game, and I like Gus Johnson. But this is what's driving me crazy. How long has Gus Johnson been a national play-by-play announcer in basketball and college football and football in general?
Always.
20 years, 20-plus years? He's been around for a long time. I remember interviewing him 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. All right? What's his signature? His signature is that when something amazing happens, he goes ballistic. That's his thing. He goes nuts. It's unbelievable. Amazing. I don't believe it. That's what he does. His level of energy and excitement is something that makes him sort of iconic. So every time he does it, people go, oh man, you should hear Gus Johnson on this call. I kind of know why are we acting surprised that Gus Johnson lost his mind on an amazing call? That's what he does. That's kind of, again, yes, it was a missed kick and it was returned. And you could only imagine the overenthusiasm of Gus Johnson when Agnew was running up the sideline and into the end zone for Jacksonville, right? Yeah, I don't like it when people use unbelievable, because an elephant dancing on a tightrope, that's unbelievable. But a football player making a play is not unbelievable. There's a relative believability to some of the things. We just need to use that loosely. But I like Gus Johnson, but I don't need to kind of go crazy over every time he does his signature call. Now, Jacksonville's 0-3, and Trevor Lawrence threw another two picks. I know. So did Troy Aikman, and so did Peyton Manning. I get it. But it's time to start showing a little bit more development, just a touch. Not too much, just a little bit, just to show that you're on the right track. But they dropped to 0-3. They just, you know, Arizona's a pretty good team. One of his interceptions was a pick six. This will be fun with these rookie quarterbacks until it's not fun anymore. Like, you can put up with it for a while, then you want to be like, okay, all right. Like, can we showcase your skills just a little bit? But, you know what? I still think that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a mega star in this league. You know, eventually things aren't going to be new. Eventually his new normal is going to be his regular normal. The film, knowing the speed, throwing the ball, knowing when to throw it, when not to throw it. That's going to be his normal. Right now, he's still clinging on to some college things. You expect these guys to do it. You know, think about this. You're a college kid, a quarterback, and you wow enough. If you're a scout, you go to your, you know, scouts come to your school and you're throwing the ball to your buddies and they're like, wow, look at him. He can make all of these throws. How amazing. And you're feeling like there's a buzz. You've hired an agent because you're going into the draft. Your agent's getting like a feel for you. They're like, hey, man, you could go in the top 10. You can go in the top 5. I think someone's going to take you number one overall. Or I know they're going to take you number one overall, like in the case of Trevor Lawrence. You're surrounded by people who are just constantly supporting you. That, you know, people, you know you're going to be making money. So you've got some people in your camp. Everything is just revolved around you and your future success that you haven't obtained yet. Right. So you get all excited and happy, and then you get to the NFL and now it's your job. Now you got to show up to work every single day. And so the comfort zone of having your pro day at your camp, throwing to your college receivers and being in college where the competition can't match your level of talent is different. But there is a point where that for some, not all, because some just burn out and they're never heard from again. But for some, there's a point where you start seeing the meter tilt in the opposite direction. Okay, now I've gone to work every single day. Now I'm used to this level of competition. Now I know how to read this better. Now I know how to throw this better. By the way, here's the call of Gus Johnson on the 109-yard return. On a kick that I think would have set the record, if I'm not mistaken. They send him out for like a 67-yard field goal or something?
68. I mean, would have set the record because now we know that.
Would have set the record.
We know that Justin Tucker's 66-yarder is the record.
Before Justin Tucker hit the 66-yarder, this was going to happen in the early game in Jacksonville. Here's Gus Johnson.
Back to his back. So here we go. Matt Prater in to attempt a 68-yarder for NFL history. Got it up. And short. Agnew brings it out of the end zone. Agnew still running. Agnew down the sideline. Agnew! Touchdown, Jacksonville! 109 yards. Incredible.
He's cracking there. His voice is cracking. He's into this.
He loves sport.
There's a level of joy that he still has. He's not cynical. He's not, I've seen it all.
Yeah.
I don't need to, you know. He just loves what he does. It's great. And I think he's fine. I have no problems with him. I know his style. Some people go, oh, it's just a little too over the top. But think about this. He's probably more excited about that play for Jacksonville than Jacksonville fans will be all season with their team.
Yeah.
He's giving you a little bit of love.
I just hope that's not the highlight for Jacksonville this season.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming in week three.
When they give you that year in review tape. Yeah. It's this play.
It's just one play. Or probably, you know, the announcement of Trevor Lawrence as the number one pick.
Yeah.
The first press conference and then this play.
Why, you know, I don't mind the national ribbing of Urban Meyer, who said playing every game is like playing Alabama. But on the one hand, he is a guy that has zero NFL experience.
Right.
So he is just sort of saying, hey, I'm putting it in a context that I understand. But yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it
these
is
guys
Alabama.
Are good.
Yeah. Like, yeah. There's no cake.
I think that's the problem that how it yeah. came off was exactly. You know, him simply saying, I don't know if you knew this, but NFL players are good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the way.
You know, because that's how kind of a lot of people took it. It was like, yeah, we've said that all along. That's why we always say it doesn't matter how crappy an NFL team is. They're not beating or they're not losing to Alabama.
Right. That's right.
There might be a close game.
I don't know.
But you're
still
talking.
I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah, but I mean. You know, I'm saying close, like within a, you know, a touchdown, two touchdown score, a double digit lead.
Yeah, see,
it's not, they're not blow. If you take Jacksonville right now and put them up against Alabama, Jacksonville's not going to win 62-0 against Alabama, but they're winning the game.
Yeah, they're not going to. Yeah, but remember too, that all the good Alabama, like Alabama, may have 10 guys that can play in the NFL, and Jacksonville has 53 guys that can play in the NFL.
Yep,
that's the difference.
That's the difference.
Like it's not when you take the first round defensive end for Alabama and put him up against an offensive tackle. It's when a defensive end for Jacksonville is going up against a guard or a tackle that can't play in the NFL, has no business playing in the NFL. That's the difference. And that's why. Jacksonville is better.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Again, busy weekend in sports. Of course, the NFL Week 3, Monday Night Football tonight, Dallas and Philadelphia. The U.S. winning the Ryder Cup. We continue to look at the league. Back to the situation with Urban Meyer. I do think that if Meyer gets frustrated with losing, then could I see him make a jump to a college program in a year? Yeah, I could. Do I think he leaves Jacksonville midway through the season, kind of like a la Bobby Petrino? I don't think so. I think there are coaches who don't care about their legacy, and I think there are coaches who do. And I think Urban Meyer does care about how he's remembered. And I think he's remembered as Florida winning titles, Ohio State winning titles. I think he throws the health stuff underneath, doesn't really care. But I do think he would be, it would depend. If he quit Jacksonville tomorrow, if he quit Jacksonville at the end of this season or close to the end of the season to take the USC job and he brought USC national titles, no one will care, right? But if he goes back to college and he's just, all right, oh, whatever, okay, then people will go, well, see, look, he kind of flamed out towards the end. But Jacksonville is, they're in the same boat as the Jets, right? This is a team that's not as well put together as it should. And that's why they're just not good. Right. And that's it. Everybody knew that. It's okay. Everybody knew that. It's the teams that are not good that needed to take a next step. Those are the problems with this league. You know, like I said, 7 interceptions for Trevor Lawrence this season. That's okay. That's all right. Eventually he'll not throw those passes and we'll see. The idea that after 3 games in the NFL, you've defined a career is silly, but at the same time, I do think you want to start seeing some of these guys in situations where they can show they can be successful. I just don't think it's happening with the Jets and the Jags. And right now in Chicago, what happened there is criminal. Again, I reiterate what I said in hour one. If I'm the Bears, I fire Matt Nagy today. I don't care about conventional wisdom. I don't care about what has been done in the past. I don't care about sort of a protocol of letting a coach go. You know, like they say, you probably could fire him in week 12, 13 or whatever, and just let an interim coach fill in the gap just to make the point. But there's sometimes where you go week 3. No, that's enough. Done. We're out. Now, you took one of our prized possessions and nearly ruined him. So no, you're not going to stick around to do that anymore. But I don't think it's going to happen, because the reason I don't think it's happened is I do think NFL teams do not do that, and they won't do that. But I would. I absolutely would. No question about it. The New Orleans Saints got a game from Jameis Winston of no picks.
Yep.
They went on to beat New England 28-13.
So the only thought that went through my mind is that this isn't every other thing now. Every other game.
Right. He does pretty good, and then he throws picks. Then he does pretty good, and then he throws picks. Right?
Yeah. I think that's the only logical explanation at this point.
Well, the Patriots will have Tom Brady next week.
Yes.
That should be fun.
That should be, you might hear something about that this week.
Do you think, here's the question. Does Tom Brady, in his press conferences leading up to the game, whenever he meets the media, does he say, man, I got to be honest with you, I am so looking forward to this game, man. I'm so excited.
He should.
Or does that stupid thing that they all do, which is, nah, it's just a normal game against another opponent.
Yeah, no, he absolutely 100% needs to embrace the fact that this is not just a normal game, that this is not just you're running the mill. Hey, it's a Sunday nighter against, you know, the Patriots. Him and Gronk need to treat it the same way as they should.
If you're on the Zoom call, if I'm Pat Donovan, I should suggest this to him. And Tom Brady starts going, it's just a normal game on the schedule, just another opponent. I would yell, liar!
Right.
Just to see what he does. Because he's lying.
He is.
There's no way. If he says that, he's lying. There's no way he's not emotionally attached to playing against the team he played for 20 years. Right? So that's why I think Brady, who's done thousands of these in his career, I do think he'll say, hey, you know what? Yeah, this means a lot. It means a lot to go back to Gillette Stadium. Even though I'm wearing another uniform, I'm excited to go back and play against the Patriots. I can't deny it. It's been the place. It's, you know, my identity for 20 years.
He has
can't
to.
Deny
I mean,
it.
He and has if he to. Doesn't do that, he's phony. He's fake.
Totally phony.
I mean, you will call him out, call him every word you want to call him at that, because he knows deep down inside that this has been a game that has been circled on the calendar since he went to the Buccaneers last year.
I remember years ago when I was in Denver, Rod Smith, who I have a lot of respect for Rod Smith, but I'm going to tell this one story. Rod Smith was up for becoming the Denver Broncos all-time leading receiver. And it was really early, so I can't remember if it was touchdowns or yards or whatever it was. And he had the catch, and they made a big ceremony out of it. And afterwards, he talked about it, and somebody asked him a question about it. And he said, nah, it's just another game. It doesn't mean anything. It's just we won the game, and that's all that matters to me. I don't really care about that stuff. That's all for you people talking about us in the media. That's all for you people to decide. But then later on, he kind of slipped up, because later on in the interview, he said, well, it was good to have my mom and my family here in town to watch me play and whatnot. So somebody caught that.
Yeah.
And said, why was your family here? You know, like somebody put two and two together. It was a big deal to him. His entire family was there to celebrate it with him. But he, at the moment, thought, no, I can't admit that this is important to me, right? Because that sounds like I shouldn't care. Like, I should just care about winning. Like,
it's not cool.
Right. It's not cool to care about statistics and stats and everything. It makes me self-centered. I don't want to appear self-centered. But somebody saw the connection. No, you knew it would happen in this game. So I think it was like catches or something, because it looked like it was going to be pretty easy for him to achieve. You knew it was going to happen. You invited your family, your entire family, not just your wife and kids, like your whole family's flown in for this. It mattered to you. And it's okay to say at the podium that it mattered to you. And if Brady says, nah, this is just a normal game, if I'm a Patriot fan, I'd be insulted by that. You spent 20 years in our organization. Yeah. You won Super Bowls with us. We're going to give you a standing ovation. And you think it's like playing Atlanta? You think it's like playing Carolina?
And on the flip side, because I just saw him, seeing him on one of the TVs in here right now, Bill Belichick needs to acknowledge
absolutely
the fact of Tom Brady coming back.
Great point. Great point. The reverse has to be true as well.
Yeah.
That he should say, we're not on to the Buccaneers. It should be, of course this is different. Of course this is not just a regular game. This isn't the same as us playing the Jets or the Dolphins or anybody else. We're playing against a guy that spent two decades here doing something no one in the history of the sport has ever done for a franchise. Of course it's different. No, playing the Buccaneers and Tom Brady is not like playing Zach Wilson and the Jets, please. And if Belichick, because he's another one of these guys where pretends like it's nothing, it doesn't matter to him, but then shows you that it does, some of the stuff does matter to him. And he should acknowledge that too. I think both should later this week when we finally get rolling with press conferences. And you know what, Ron? Let's monitor that this week just
yes.
to see exactly what they say.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a huge deal. Like
right.
I said, as soon as Brady said, I'm going to the Buccaneers, the first thing we all did is like, okay, is he ever going to play New England?
Yeah, you start grabbing the future schedules, right?
That and then we find out that not only is he playing New England, he's playing at Foxborough.
And that might have been one of like 1,000 reasons he
right.
went
well,
to Tampa.
Well, we said that last year. That
yeah.
It's like he probably looked at it and went, I want to go to a good team, but I want to go home.
I want to play in New England. Where can I play in New England? Who's got that within a 2 to 3 year window of me being on this football team? And he was like, look, the Buccaneers, they play the Patriots. They're scheduled to play them in 2021. I got all of these weapons. I got a good coach. It's Florida. It's, oh my God, it's perfect.
Yeah. And honestly, by the time it's all said and done this week, you might think there's only one football game on this weekend.
That's true. That's a good point.
And I'm talking college and NFL. By the time we're done, there's only one game that everyone's going to be talking about and can't wait for. It's like, you know, a Super Bowl.
I'll go back to that Rod Smith story for a second, and I think athletes need to understand. Nobody thought that Rod Smith at that time, no one thought he was wrong to invite his family in.
No.
Nobody thought it was wrong for him to say, this means a lot. This is a lot of hard work that I've put to one organization, and I'm in the record books of all the great receivers this team has had, you know, Vance Joseph, all of that. I am on top, and it's okay. I put a lot of work into this. It's okay. We as fans and media, we don't mind when you say, you know what, this mattered to me. This mattered to me. I'm sorry. It may sound like it's silly that I got the all-time record for touchdowns or sacks or rushing yards, but you know what? It matters. It's okay. We get it. We get it. You don't have to play the tough football guy that doesn't pay attention to that stuff. Because I'll tell you right now, in baseball, that's all they care about is numbers, right? It matters to ball players when they bat 300, right? They want to win, but they also need to bat 300. They need to have 50 home runs. They know the statistics are important. It's okay because we get it. It's when we feel like you're blowing off the truth, which is it matters to go back to New England, or it matters that you set a record, or it matters that you're playing against a former team. Tony Dungy talked about this, about the first time he got fired in Tampa. And he went back as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Remember that Monday night game where they were trailing for like 50 minutes, 55 minutes?
Yeah.
And then Manning, it was like 2003 or something. And then Manning came back and they won that game against the Buccaneers. He talked about, hey man, you know it's a big deal. You're going to see people that still work for the organization, people in the stadium that still work there. You're going to be in the visitors' locker room for the first time ever. Dungy was like, I almost cried. They introduced him, and the Buccaneers stadium gave him a standing ovation. He almost cried. He goes, I knew the cameras were on me, and I almost cried. That's exactly what's going to happen to Brady. Not maybe crying, but he's going to get an ovation that is going to be riveting. Riveting! For what he's done for that city. And I think to say, if he does say it's just a regular game, is forget it. Nobody's going to believe it. No one's going to believe it. Because we're all human. All right. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this hour as we get ready for Denton Day, who's coming up next hour on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life, Rocket can. Oh, this is fun in radio when Ron tells me, I got something, a Belichick, but I've never heard it, so I don't know what this is.
About
but
Tom
here's
Brady
Bill Belichick.
At his office. Brady, you spoke on WEEI today about Tom Brady looking at his options, and he decided Tampa was a better option. Why weren't the Patriots a better option for him when both Robert Kraft and Brady himself said over and over how much they wanted him to finish his career here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to go back and rehash all that. We've talked about that.
You've never talked about it.
Focuses on the game here, and look, I have so much respect and appreciation for Tom and everything he did here and for me and for our team. And, you know, we're just getting ready to compete against Tampa this week, and we're going to keep our focus on that.
But you talk about rehashing dynamics that you've already gone through. You've never done that.
We made a statement when Tom left, and that covered it.
You surprised how well he's played? He's thrown 61 touchdown passes in 23 games down there. Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Tom's a great player. Nothing surprises me that he does.
That's great. That reporter is good. That was good. He didn't. That is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking
about.
He's
trying to play it off like, right. You know, just
we're just really concentrating on the
Buccaneers, on to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I listen, there, of course there is some game prep for the Bucs. I get it, right? But you also need to acknowledge what that game is. But I like that. You never said that. Because that's the throwaway line, right?
Yeah.
We discussed it at the time. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. We talked about it. No, you didn't.
we released a statement and that covered it.
That's
not good enough.
That went from we hashed this out to we talked about it to okay, we released a couple of lines in a press release when he was gone, right? Like that's how he chopped that down.
And that's what we want.
Belichick went from, at the beginning of that thing, he went from, we've talked about it so much. No, we didn't. Okay. We released a statement. No, you never talked. Okay, we wrote a press release. Right? Like it went from different levels of finally just going, yeah, okay. He left and we wrote something nice on a piece of paper.
Do you think Belichick's holding that back going, you know, he should just come out and be honest with you guys. Someday I'm going to release a book. You'll hear all about it then.
But, yeah. And as he's leaving, he turns to the media guy and goes, that guy never gets a question again. I don't care who he is, where he's from, what he's doing. Find him, and I never want to see his face again.
Scrub the password to the Zoom conference.
Exactly. Lose his credential. That guy's going to go up, and he's going to go up on like all around Foxborough, just like studios used to put Joan Crawford's picture up. Don't let this woman in.
Right. this is exactly what we want. We want put these guys' feet to the fire. If
Absolutely.
Brady's doing the same thing, turn it on him and say, hey, you've never really talked about.
No, if Brady does that,
you know, Belichick.
I don't know if the Tampa Bay media will be that tough, but the Boston media that gets in on those calls should say the same thing. If Brady says, oh, it's no big deal, Boston media should say, really? Really? You won 6 Super Bowls here for 20 years. It's just a regular
went to
game.
9.
Like, we cheered for you for 2 decades. It's just another game to you? Like, I would absolutely throw it at him. All right, Denton Day is coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow with more fun as we continue along. Thanks for joining us on Sports Map Radio.